Amen. Thank you, Brother Maxwell. I hope that would be your heart's desire tonight. Well, we got Brother Hankins back with us tonight, and Pastor has asked him to bring the message tonight, and he told us this morning he had something special for us. Amen. So we're going to let him come preach to us.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Take your Bibles and open up to the book of Luke, a very familiar passage, but something I've discovered, I should have discovered a long time ago, but I wanted to share it because I think it's the answer to our country, to our world, and to homes, and it's about the home. I think what we need, and we don't need new presidents, new election, and all that. We just need different homes. Amen. I believe homes will change our country. And the Lord spoke to my heart about it, and that's what I wanted to share with you tonight. And I just appreciate Brother Jesse singing that song. It kind of fits me. My mind's still pretty strong, but I sure should have wore my back brace today, to be honest with you. Thank you for Herb Perkins catching me here a while ago. Did y'all see that? Remember Moses, Aaron and Herb held up Moses' hands? And that's when they prevailed, amen, with Amalek. We're thankful to be here, thankful for Dr. Parsons, Dr. Carter, that I've known for a long time. I took too long this morning getting caught up on 20 years of absence, amen. So I'm not going to do that tonight. I'm just going to get right in the message and speak to you and show you a couple of things that Lord has showed me, which I should have known a long time ago. But I think it would be a blessing to you if you put them into practice. Luke chapter 24, let's start reading verse 13. This is about the men, as somebody said, the men on the road to Emmaus. But I kind of disagree with that a little bit, and I'll show you why in just a minute. I heard a preacher preach on this, and he said it's two disciples traveling down the road to Emmaus. I don't believe it was two disciples. I believe it was a husband and wife. And I'll show you that Cleopas had a wife, and she was at the cross, Cleopas was at the cross, and they're traveling back home, and something happened. They met a stranger. You know the story. I'll get into that in just a little bit. And he went all the way back to Moses and started explaining about who did he explain about? Himself. Isn't that wonderful? And brought them up to date, and a lot of things happened there. But I'll tell you my text verse when I get to it, and then we'll... I had trouble giving a title to this message, and I'll give you three titles, amen? That doesn't mean it's three sermons, it's just three titles. But let's start reading verse 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs, about 7 miles probably. And they talked together, these two are talking together, of all these things which had happened. Remember, they've been seen the cross, seen Jesus on the cross, and he was buried. And this man told them, in 3 days, you'll hear from me again. I'll be back out of that grave. And so they're talking about things like that. And then a stranger shows up. But it says in verse 15, it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself, remember this after the resurrection, and drew near and went with them. And their eyes were beholden that they should not know him. They were discouraged, no doubt had their heads down, talking to one another, didn't realize who the stranger was, didn't recognize him, so forth, but they will. And then in verse 17, and he said unto them, what manner of communication are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered and said unto him, aren't thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? And hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. And we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it even as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken? Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses, oh, it's amazing. I think I'm going to preach a sermon sometime and go back to Moses, back to the Pentateuch, back to where it started, and bring all the way up through there. That'd make a good sermon, wouldn't it? One of these days I'm going to do that, I think, if the Lord don't come and get me first. And the beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning who? Himself. And they drew nigh unto the village, whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone farther. But they constrained him. Here's my text right here. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us. That's my text right there. An invitation into their house. And I don't believe it's two men. I don't believe it's two homosexuals, amen. I believe it's a man and a woman. And I'll show you in just a minute. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. So I think I'm just going to title the message, What Happens When You Spend Time with Jesus? I had a couple other things I was going to add to that, but we'll just stick with that one. What happens when you spend time with Jesus? Let me ask you a question. Have you spent time with Jesus this week? Oh, I'm too busy. Dr. Malone used to say, if you're too busy for God, you're just too busy. We got to take time. We got to redo our schedule, amen? God's a jealous God, and he wants us to spend time with him. I don't know if anybody else has done for us what Jesus has done. Boy, he must have really loved us, amen? How much do we love him? Are we returning that love? Well, I'm busy. I got to make a living, you know, and got to do this and that, take care of my family. Yeah, but you got to give God the glory. Did you know none of us would be breathing tonight if it wasn't for God? We get the oxygen. He gives it to us. Our health and our strength. Thank God for God giving his only son. I gave you that this morning. Gentlemen, I told this gentleman here I got a tie just like that, John 3:16. And Jesus gave his life for us. Thank you, Jesse, again for that song. We need to follow him, amen? Amen. Who are we following? Are we following our own ideas, our own desires? We need to make our house a home. Every one of us lives in a house. But not everybody lives in a home.
Right.
Think about that. A home where Jesus is head of the home. Where he rules and reigns. Amen. Yeah. Young folks, thank God for your parents. When they read the Bible and when they pray, get together in family devotions and so forth. thank God for them. They're wanting to teach you the things of the Word of God that they've learned. And how important that is that parents need to do that. Well, I got to do this. I don't have time. You got to take time. You have to. If you want to keep your children, if you want to give praise and honor to God, then you must do that. So tonight, I'm going to share with you what will happen when we spend time with Jesus. Now, there's two of them. You notice that in verse 13. I heard preachers preach this several times, and they said it's two disciples went to the cross. But I found out in the Bible, you find a lot of things out when you read the Bible, amen?
Amen.
I found out that Cleopas was married. He had a wife, and she was there at the cross. Would you like to see that verse? Turn to John chapter 19 and verse 25, and I'll show you that. John chapter 19, some of you, this is not new to you, but it just hit me like a ton of bricks not too long ago. In John chapter 19 and verse 25, now there stood by, where were they standing by? The cross of Jesus, his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of who? Cleopas. Well, you know about that. And Mary Magdalene. So we find that this Cleopas here, back in Luke chapter 24, I believe he was married. I believe him and his wife both were at the cross, and they saw Jesus die, and probably Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, who came to Jesus by night, who took him down, laid him in a tomb. They may have seen that. And they rolled the stone away in front of the grave. And he said, you're not going to hear that I've gone because I'm coming back again. And Jesus did. And they believed that. And they're going back home. They're traveling down the road of Emmaus, and they're going back home, and they're talking and everything. Jesus shows up and explains all that. And it's getting late in the evening. They're coming to their house where they live. And Jesus was going to go ahead past the house. And they stopped him. And that's my text. Did you notice that back in verse 29? And they constrained him, saying, abide with us. Have you ever invited Jesus into your home? I mean, every home that my wife and I have lived in, we've dedicated that home to Jesus. Let him take charge of it, amen? Matter of fact, not only our homes, but our lives, as the song we just said. We need to submit ourselves to him. Our country, America, is going downhill. But it can be a lot better, I think, if we had more Christian homes. We all live in a house, but a lot of folks don't live in a home. And I believe there's a lot of difference. We can put on a facade, like Brother Perkins talked about in Sunday school this morning, which was really good. We put on a front, but God knows our heart, doesn't he? So we need to have our home. We have a scripture sign out in our front yard. Matter of fact, I have a picture of it on my phone, and I guess... I hope that thing don't go off tonight. I forgot it turned off. You know, I hardly ever get a call when I'm in church. I don't think, unless it's some of these weirdos and some advertisement or something. None of my friends ever call me while I'm in church. You know why? Because they know I'm in church. And when you're used to going to church for 85 years, not being out of it, you kind of... get to liking it, amen. I love to fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We need to be here to encourage the pastor, but encourage one another. And you'd be surprised. And let them encourage you if we could just assemble together more often. I had an evangelist one time up in Ohio, this has probably been 30, 40 years ago. He told the story about he was blind, and he got saved, and God called him to be an evangelist, and he they drove him around, he traveled around, and they announced in the church when he first got saved, and they said they were having a meeting. He missed part of it, and it was a women's meeting. He showed up at the women's meeting, and the women said, "Well, what are you doing here? This is a women's meeting." He said, "They announced church. I just love to go to church." So how important it is that we need to be there every time the doors are open. We need to be praying and seeking God's face and lifting up one another and let people know where you are. You know, we should never have our lights on at our house or unless we're sick or something, tragedy. But people should know where we are on Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, Wednesday nights, and during meetings. It's very important for us to do that. And here's two that are traveling back. They've seen the cross, the burial. They're traveling back home. Jesus shows up, explains to them from Moses, right on through up about himself. And it's coming nighttime, and they're getting ready to pass their house. And they stop him and said, "Come, abide with us." There in verse 29, they constrained him. I believe they begged him. They pleaded with him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And look what else. And he went in to tarry with them. Jesus will come in your home if you invite him. Amen. He'll spend time there if you invite him. Set a chair out. Make sure. You know, the Jews, they set a chair out. Passover time, meals a lot of times, an empty chair. They're looking for Jesus. We know he's already come. Amen. Amen. He lives within our hearts. Thank God for that. But how important it is that we need to make room for Jesus. If you don't make room for him, then you're just in serious trouble. And what all he's done for you and for me, how wonderful it is that we need to obey him and invite him into our home. So one of these was Cleopas, and one was his wife, I believe, according to John chapter 19, verse 25. And they had been to this crucifixion, and Jesus stopped by and made their house a home. So what I'm going to do tonight is what I've discovered is that several folks have invited Jesus into their home. And I'm going to share just three or four with you. There's probably a whole bunch that I don't have time to share those, but Jesus was invited into people's homes. Maybe the invitation tonight, you may want to come and let someone deal with you or say, "I'm going to invite Jesus into my home. I'm going to let him take over my home completely tonight. This is the first day of the rest of our life, and we need to let Jesus take charge." Amen? Amen. You've been in charge of your life long enough, so you need to turn it over to Jesus. It's time for us to come to that place in our lives. Jesus will do so much more. There's some who invited Jesus in their home. First of all, and I'll try not to keep you past time tonight, but look in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 14, and this is kind of a familiar one. By the way, real quickly, someone asked me. I didn't give my last verse this morning. Somebody came to me after church and said, "Brother Hankins, what is your last verse now?" And it used to be Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. My last verse now is Psalm chapter 92, verse 14. "And they," that's Dorothy and I, "they shall bring forth fruit in their old age." Amen. And we've had the privilege of leading several to the Lord since I've cleaned that. And some's got baptized and joined the church down there in Lake Placid. That's good. That we want to produce fruit, amen? Why live this life and not produce any fruit for the Lord? It's for him. "So they shall bring forth fruit in their old age." Psalm 92, verse 14. That's my last verse. She's still got her Philippians 4:13. That's been Dorothy's last verse. And she can do all things. We can do all things through Christ which strengthens us. So you need to have a life's verse. You need something to go back on, to rely upon. Why we're here. We're God didn't save us to take us to heaven. We're not there yet, amen? He saved us that we might help someone else get saved. Amen. It was good to hear about the bus route this morning. I think you had 200 and some, I think you announced in Sunday school, 200 and some in the bus route, and 745, I believe, announced. Which one I know a lot of snowbirds have gone back, same down our church in Lake Placid. People have gone back, but it's important for us to try to reach out everybody we can. You see, Jesus died for everybody, and that means everybody's a sinner. I remember Dr. Malone used to tell us, he said, you cannot knock on the wrong door. And he said, if you get the wrong person saved, God will save you, or God will forgive you. You know, that was one of Dr. Malone's jokes. But he said, you cannot knock on the wrong door, because everyone needs to hear the gospel. And the same with our homes. Every home represented here tonight, including Dorothy and I's home. We need to let Jesus in. We need to let him take control. We need to have this word of God. We need to be on our knees. We need to talk to him. You'll be surprised when we talk to Jesus. I was surprised that so many things popped up here. If you got a pencil and paper, you can write them down here in just a little bit. But look in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 14. This is about Peter. Peter invited Jesus in his home to heal his mother-in-law. That means that Peter was saved. Amen. I mean, he was married. Peter no doubt believed in the Lord, but Peter had a mother-in-law. That means he was married. In Matthew chapter 8 and verse 14, and when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. So Jesus went into Peter's home. We can talk a lot about Peter. And you know, he had a big mouth, and he got in trouble and put his foot in his mouth a lot and so forth. But Peter loved Jesus, and he invited him into his home. And how important that is in our lives also. Look in chapter 9, Matthew chapter 9. There's two blind men. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 28. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 28. Talks about being in these men's home and what happened. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 28. I know it's in here. There it is, right there. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 28. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. So Jesus went into that house. Amen. Is Jesus in your home? Is he in your house making a home? Let him come in. He wants to come in. He wants to come in our heart. I'm glad I invited Jesus into my heart 75 years ago. But there's a difference in inviting him into your heart and inviting him in your home. So our emphasis tonight is letting Jesus take over your home. Everything. I'm not going to start naming things, but we probably got things in our home that we push Jesus aside and we watch and do different things. Someone asked me not too long ago, said, what kind of movies you rent? I said, I've never rented a movie in my life. They said, what? I said, no, I never have. Netflix or whoever it is, and where you rent movies and things? I said, I've never done it in my life. They said, really? I said, yeah, why? Why get all that garbage into our homes? You know, give the money to the church. Give it to Jesus. Amen. But it's important. I don't want to get off the subject here. But look in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 6. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 6. A man named Simon. Matthew 26 and verse 6. Now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper. Jesus, he goes in sinners' homes too, amen? But I'm primarily talking to we that know the Lord, but don't want to give our lives to him. You know, there's a lot of difference in receiving Christ and letting Christ take over our lives. There's a battle between the flesh and the spirit. You ever have that battle? I have it every day. There's a battle. You got to decide who you're going to yield to. You're going to yield to the flesh. You're going to yield to the Spirit of God. It's very important. So let him control our lives. Then in Mark chapter 5 and verses 38 through 42, it says that he came into the house of the ruler and healed a 12-year-old girl. And she walked, and the name Jairus' daughter, of course. And then look in Luke chapter 7 Luke chapter 7. I see another one here. I'm not going to give you all of them, but I'll give you some just to kind of wet your whistle a little bit. But in Luke chapter 7 and verse 36, Luke chapter 7, verse 36, and one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with them, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. He's going into a sinner's house, amen? Matter of fact, Jesus was accused. You remember one time that they accused him of eating with sinners? I'm sure glad he decided to eat with me one time, amen? I was a sinner lost on my way to hell, only 10 years of age, but I knew it. And I cried out to the on my knees in front of the church and got saved, and I'll never forget that special time. When I stood up, my mother and father were standing there, and I remember I hugged them and hugged them, and the pastor said, Johnny, just got saved. Everyone come around and shake his hand and welcome into the family of God. And that was exciting, amen? That just like it was yesterday that happened. And as I said this morning, I don't remember my first birth, but I can't forget my second birth. How important that is. How that we need to be born again. There may be some of you here tonight. Maybe you're not giving your life to Jesus. You've never received him. You won't invite him into your home. You won't give him time of day. And maybe you're not saved. You say, well, I've been baptized in church. They won't get you to heaven. You must be born again, Jesus said. Amen. You must be born again. Like we were born once physically, we must be born spiritually. Amen. We must be born again and let Jesus control our lives. Then in Luke chapter 10 and verse 38, I'll just tell you about this one. It's a familiar, but it's Luke chapter 10, verse 38. There's three people, two sisters and a brother. You remember who they were? Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Jesus spent a lot of time in their home. And you can look that up a little bit later. And then that's in chapter 10 of Luke, verse 38. And then in chapter 19, Luke, you remember a little person climbed up in a sycamore tree, wanted to see Jesus. And Jesus said, come down. Jesus said, I must abide at your house. Wouldn't that be something? You see, Zacchaeus didn't invite him in, but Jesus invited himself into Zacchaeus' house. And I believe they went. I remember the old-time preacher that used to preach. He said, boy, the sparks just flew off that sycamore tree. Zacchaeus came down. They went to his house, and Jesus went in, and Zacchaeus was saved, of course, and he just gave his life over to him. So thank God for that. And then here, let's go back to Luke chapter 24 and verse 29. Luke chapter 24 and verse 29. Then I'm going to give you some things that I see that happened. This is, I hate to say Hankinsology, but some things that just really blessed me when I saw what these two, what Cleopas and his wife saw. You know, they invited him in, and Jesus kind of took over. It'd be all right for him to take over our home, amen? It'd be all right for him to take over our house and our personal life and our children, our home. It'd be all right. He can handle a lot better with it than what we can. Amen. We've already messed it up, but Jesus won't mess it up. He'll take care of it, straighten things out. And you know that he took the bread and he broke the bread, and then how they known him, which, you know, I've heard preachers say it, you've heard it say, I'm not telling you anything new. Matter of fact, I'll just go ahead and say this. I've been preaching about 57 years. I don't believe I've ever said anything new. But I just love to repeat the same old story.
Amen.
That God loved us, and he gave Jesus, and Jesus died for us. He was buried, and he rose again, and he's coming again. Amen.
Amen.
So that's my message, the gospel, that Christ died, he was buried, and he rose again.
Amen.
And he's coming back after us, and I'm ready, amen?
Amen.
So I don't, a lot of preachers try to come up with something new. I've never done that. I've never tried to come up with, hey, he's the first one that thought of that. No, it's in the Bible. We just need to repeat what the Bible says, amen?
Amen.
And give the word of God. So here we find the two on the road of Emmaus, and they stopped Jesus and constrained him, invited him into their home, and he broke the bread, and no doubt when he gave the bread, they saw the nail scars in his hand, and they realized who he was, as the Bible talks about. They were known of him by what he did. So notice the plurality and the agreement of the two. Talks about they and them and us and there and our and one another. Thank God for husbands and wives that agree with things. Amen. It shouldn't even be a vote. Well, let's take a vote whether we're going to let Jesus come in our home or not. No, we shouldn't take a vote on it. We just say, if we're going to have a Christian home, we need to put him in there and let him take over. But a lot of times, I'm sorry to say, I know some preachers that their wives said, I don't want anything to do with that Christian. I don't want to go to church anymore. So they leave them. What a disgrace that is. Something wrong somewhere, amen? Probably they're not saved. They didn't need a good dose of salvation. I had a retired minister that I pastored down here in Sebring for 13 years, and he used to come to me. He was from Kentucky, and they moved down here and retired, and he used to come to me, and he said, Brother Hankins, he said, I just don't think they got what I got. If you get what Jesus gives, your life's going to change. Brother Perkins said that again. I almost forgot your name again, Brother Perkins. We need to be more acquainted, amen? Get around a little bit better. But Brother Perkins said, when Jesus comes in, there's going to be a change. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things become new. So we're a new person, amen? We go to different places. If you got saved, supposedly, and still go to the same places, still have the same friends, something's wrong somewhere. If you say you're saved and you still have the same old TV programs, then you're probably not saved. That's just kind of plain truth, but I don't know any other way to say it. If you get saved, you're going to change inside out. Amen? Inside out. So how important that is. So they constrained him, and they went in. In verse 30, Jesus took place of a master in the home. Look at verse 30. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. So thank God, spending time with Jesus will make our house a home. I encourage you tonight. I may never preach here again. Matter of fact, I preached in Bartow, Brother Gentry's church, just not too long ago. I'm preaching here today. Next month, I'm preaching in Orlando. Brother George Harris, he went to school, I think, when we did it, when Brother Bradley and when I taught. And Brother Harris called me and asked me to come over to preach at his church. And then I'm preaching down south in the 1st of June. And then I've got some calls. And you pray for us, if you think about it, for June, July, and August up in Ohio and Kentucky. And I can't get away from that Ohio, amen? But it's important. I don't want to quit preaching. I had one preacher call me and he said, hey, Brother Hankins, I heard that you are retired. I said, no, I just retired from pastoring. After 48 years, I quit pastoring, but I've been in evangelism for a long time. I said, no, I don't ever want to quit preaching. I want to keep as long as I got breath and my mind's halfway right and I can stand up. I want to keep preaching and tell people about Jesus. It's the only way to get to heaven is through Jesus. And I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man come unto the Father but by me. You can try anything you want to, but you'll never make it to heaven unless you receive Jesus as your personal Savior. He's the one that can change you. You can't change yourself, by the way. I've had people say, well, I'm going to turn over a new leaf. You can't turn over a new leaf. Jesus has to do it for you. Jesus has to change your life. So you might as well quit trying. I remember my pastor, Dr. Malone, he said, quit trying all this stuff and just trust Jesus. We're trying all these different things and just trust him, live for him, and give our lives. Quit trying to pull the wool over our eyes because God knows everything. He knows what all's going on. He knows what's in your heart. He knows what's in my heart. And he knows about our home. He knows about your home. So I'd encourage you, and I got to give these rest of these, and then I'll be through. What spending time with Jesus will do. Number two, in verse 29, it'll open our home to Jesus. Verse 31, it'll open our eyes. Did you notice that in verse 31? It says, and their eyes were open, and they knew him. Let me ask you a question. Do you really? I held a revival up in North Carolina one time, and I got up for a priest, and I said, do you really know Jesus? No one said a thing. I said, do you really know Jesus? I must have said it 10 or 12 times. I said, do you really know Jesus? They finally got the message, and they started hollering, amen. But Paul said, I believe Paul, he wrote 14 books of the New Testament. I believe the Apostle Paul, when he met Jesus on the Damascus Road, it changed his life, amen? Amen. And he became a great preacher, one of the greatest there's ever been. But he made this statement in Philippians chapter 2, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. He said that I might know him. Paul knew him as Savior, but he didn't know him personally and let him take charge of his life. That's what I'm saying. I'm not questioning your salvation. I'm just questioning, are you let Jesus take over everything you have, your possession, take over your bank account? Oh, my. Preacher, hurry up and get off of that. Amen. Let him take over your decisions and your car, your home, your life, everything. Jesus wants to control everything. You say, I don't believe that's right. I believe it's right. And it's up to you to make the decision. Is Jesus going to be the Lord and Master of your life, or you're still going to try to mess it up yourself? It's your decision. But thank God, if we do it his way, we'll be all right. And then notice in verse 31, he'll make us to know him. Verse 32, he'll give us a burning heart. Us older folks, we've had heartburn. But I'm talking about spiritual heartburn, amen? Has your heart burned for Jesus? When Jesus talked to the disciples on the way, they said later on, said, did not our heart burn within us? If you have that spiritual desire, I want more of Jesus. I want more of the Bible. I want to read more. I want to pray more. I want to go to church more. I just want to serve God more. I want to get closer to him. That burning desire to know more, what makes him tick. I remember being a young preacher. Dr. B.R. Lakin was a friend of mine. He ate in our home, and I've known several doctor. I'm not boasting about all this and everything, but a lot of you haven't been around preachers. You've been around Dr. Carter. I picked his brain a few times. But I've gone to motels, and I've talked to Dr. B.R. Lakin and Jack Howells and John Rice, Lee Robinson, Dr. Seitler from Greenville. It was Pat's Pirates pastor, wasn't he? I believe there in the Greenville. Great men of God. And pick their brain a little bit about things. Our pastor, Brother Keith down there, boy, he's got a good, young, smart, sharp mind. He's doing a fantastic job, folks. You need to pray for him. Of course, his dad's a preacher. His grandfather's a preacher. His father-in-law's a preacher. And I told someone this morning, he's got me down there, too. So he don't have a chance, amen? But he'll call, get on the phone and call, what about so-and-so, and what about this and that, and so forth. And counsel is good if we take it wisely. But it's good to talk to Jesus. You know, we talk to him through prayer. He talked to us through the Bible. My wife and I, next week or so, we'll be married 64 years. If she only talked to me, or I just talked to her and we didn't talk back and forth, what kind of marriage would that be? What kind of salvation do you have if you don't talk to Jesus? You need to read the Bible. You need to pray. It needs to be a two-way street. You need to know more about the Bible And Jesus needs to know more about you and me. Very important. Search the scriptures. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. But the Bible says search the scriptures. How important it is that we read them. We have devotions every day. Thank God for the devotions. We get this. It's sent to us. Plus we have daily Baptist bread. I went to college with Brother Tim Green. His father was a pastor there in Lansing, Michigan for years. Gone to heaven now. Brother Tim Green, who, and I'm not promoting that over this, but we use both of them. We use the Baptist bread plus this one, two devotion books, plus our Bible. And we get something out of each one, amen? And it's important for us to have devotions. It's important for us to read the Bible. It's important for us to pray. It's important for us to be in church. It's important for us to be serving the Lord and give Him our lives. Give Him our time, our talent, whatever. Amen. All right, I got a... boy, that clock just don't work right somehow. But look real quickly. I'm going to give these to you. Verse 32. Allow us to talk to Jesus. I would challenge you, just as you got through talking about, have you talked to Jesus? You say, is He listening? I promise you He'll listen. If you'll talk to Him. And then verse 32, talking to Jesus will open the scriptures up to us. You notice verse 32, what it says? It says, and they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us by the way, and while He opened to us the scriptures? I tell you, talking to Jesus will open the scriptures up to us a lot more than talking to somebody else. I'm not against college education. I've got a couple of degrees myself, and I went to college, and Dr. Lee asked me to teach down here, and Dr. Carter, and it was approved, so I taught here, and I believe that we need teaching, but if you don't allow the Holy Spirit to teach you, you're not going to learn anything. Amen. It's going to be like water on a duck's back.
Right.
Let the Holy Spirit of God teach you things, and then you'll be a lot better off. Okay. Verse 35, talking to Jesus will help us to witness. I'm just going to move on real quickly. Verse 35, help us to know Jesus better. Verse 36 will help us and give us peace. Verse 45 will open our understanding. Verse 47 will show us what to preach. And I certainly need to know that. And I prayed about this, what to preach tonight here. So hopefully that you'll allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart. And then in verse 49, spending time with Jesus will give us needed power in our life. And we certainly need the power of God, don't we? In verse 50, it'll give us a desire to follow Jesus. Verse 50 shows us we need Jesus' blessings. Verse 52 shows us we need to worship Jesus. Verse 52 shows us to give us great joy. Verse 53, it'll produce faithful churchgoers. Verse 53, it will cause us to praise and to bless Jesus. And I just close this message by asking a question. I'd like for you sincerely, don't tell me, you don't have to tell anyone else because Jesus already knows, but how much time do we spend with Jesus? I promise you it'll make a difference in your life. If you'll promise. It'll make a difference in your church. It'll make a difference in your home if you spend time with Jesus. I heard someone say one time, and I picked this up, keep your eyes on the blesser instead of the blessing. I thought, what did he say? As I wrote it down in my Bible. Keep your eyes on the blesser instead of the blessing. Well, look how God has blessed me. Yeah, but look where it came from. We wouldn't have anything if it wasn't for Him.
Right.
Wasn't for Jesus. I hate people sing songs about Him and He and all that and never name God or Jesus. I wonder who they're talking about. Someone from Hollywood or what? And sometimes I hear preachers say that. You know Him and so forth. So I like to insert Jesus, amen. Jesus, Jesus exactly suits us sinners. So he's what we need. So give your life to him. And Revelation chapter 1, verse 17, I'll close. When John saw Jesus, you remember what John did? He fell at his feet. Yeah. It's time for us to fall at the feet of Jesus. We're going to give an invitation. Is all right, Brother Perkins? Give an invitation. I always gave an invitation on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night when I pastored. And folks come to the altar. You may want to change your lifestyle tonight. Matter of fact, if you're not saved, you may want to come and get saved and born again. Amen. Let Jesus change your life. I promise you, you'll never be sorry. I've never heard of a true born-again Christian say, I'm sorry I got saved. Amen. I've never heard that. If you're here tonight and you've never been saved, you've never been born again, you've never had your life changed, come and let Brother Perkins, some soul winner here, take the Bible and show you how to be saved. And maybe you have a home that God has pricked your heart tonight. You just have a house and you're not making a home. You're not too late. Amen? Not too late. We need Christian homes today. Somebody said we need three homes in our life. We need a home to live in, we need a church home, and then we need a home in heaven. Matter of fact, they said we need a Christian home. So I agree with that completely. We need a home that our neighbors know that we're Christians. We don't do what they do, amen? We're separated. God said, Paul said, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. I scared someone this morning with my voice, so I kind of toned it down just a little bit. But come out from them. Get out of the world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. We need to let the world know whose side we're on. Amen. All right, let's bow for prayer, and we'll have the gentlemen come, the pianists or the musicians, and Brother Perkins, will let him take over the invitation. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this privilege tonight on a Sunday night. Lord, we just love the Lord's day that we can come to the Lord's house and meet, whether I'm preaching or whether we're listening to preaching, and we can fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And Lord, we're thankful for that we were raised in a Christian home where mom and dad believed in prayer and went to church. We're asking you, Lord, tonight, there may be some home here tonight. I do not know. I have no idea. You laid on my heart to bring this message tonight. Thank you for Brother Parsons and to inviting me to preach tonight. And Lord, I trust that the Lord is in the arrangement that there may be a home tonight that you can help change. Help them to come. Help them not be ashamed of Jesus. He wasn't ashamed of them. But help them to come to be saved. Help them come to get baptized, join the church, rededicate their life to Christ, and make their house a home tonight. May you get the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand, if you will, please.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give.
Yes, and here come.
I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live.
Make that decision tonight.
I surrender all. I surrender all.
Do you know the Lord as your Savior?
All to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender.
We'll turn the service over to Brother Perkins, and he can control all the invitation as he sees fit. But don't leave tonight without making the decision. Lord, won't you come? God bless you.
At his feet I bow, worldly pleasures all forsaken. Take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. All Jesus, I surrender. Make me Savior, wholly thine. May thy Holy Spirit fill me. May I know thy power divine. I surrender. My blessed Savior, I surrender all.
Well, it was a good message. We hate it when somebody doesn't walk down and get saved, but praise God, we had a good day. Amen. And that was good biblical instruction right there. Yeah, invite Jesus into your home. You know something with this? We as Christians, we get so involved sometimes in our daily lives and in our work, and even in our Christian work, that we forget Jesus. We really do. We get so involved in the things that we do that we slowly push him out.
Yeah.
That was a good message for us, Brother Hankins. We appreciate that. And I pray that each and every one of you will use that and meditate upon it and apply it to your lives. You want to see your children grow up properly? Keep Jesus in your home.
Yeah.
That's what it takes right there. It takes Jesus. That's what you got to do. And it's so easily. Just look around at all the children that's not here that should be here, that's grew up right here in this church. But slowly we just keep pushing them aside, don't we? So just keep that in our hearts and in our minds. Well, we'll have a word of prayer and we'll be dismissed. Father, we love you. We thank you for the day. We thank you for Brother Hankins, Lord. We pray, thank you for the message that he preached. And Father, we do ask, Lord, that you'll help each and every one of us to keep Jesus not only in our hearts but in our homes. And Father, we do thank you for that. And Father, as we dismiss tonight, we pray that you'll take us home safe, bring us back safe Wednesday night. We love you and we praise you for it in Christ's name. Amen.